Happy Hangover Day. Hangover Day? Yeah, actually, it would be an amazing hangover day if this was on a weekend, but it's not. It is, however, episode 10 of Dead FM. A very informative, great show for you today. Some fun little entertainment, but hang on to your shorts. We got a lot of things to talk about. We actually got some great Q&A over the past few weeks. If you don't know, you can actually submit questions and we'll read it on air and, well, air, podcast air, and try and answer them as best we can. So we're going to do that on this next segment. We're going to combine the news and the Q&A together. All right, so here we go. Hey, Q&A guy, what do we got first?
How is the www.nerdycrap.com website coming along? How is the realignment of distribution going? Matthew Hunt.
Hey, Scott C. Brown here. All that I can say about the nerdycrap.com website right now is that I have provided the hosting, and my end is done. So, yeah, that's what I know. Not very helpful, is it? But that's just me.
Thanks, Scott. Yeah, you know, nerdycrap.com, we're having some issues. I'm going to be honest, we need some help. Amazon.com kind of changed their program a little bit and interfacing with WooCommerce, which is the solution we were going to go with just for something easy and simple. I feel like things have changed a bit. I haven't had the time to research it. Ultimately, we're really looking for a way to be relatively hands-off, just take our product, ship it to Amazon, have it be easy to buy on our website or on the online store presence, nerdycrap.com, and for Amazon to just handle fulfilling the orders and making it easy so we can collect the checks and blah, blah, blah. So if any of you know anything about that, please contact us because I would love some insight or some help on that. Thank you.
Do you ever see yourselves redoing and finishing the poker game sketch? Yoda.
In response to the question about poker bet, which was asked as poker game, but I know what you mean, I would love to see it redone. I think everyone included in it would like to see it redone. It was talked about for a long time to be redone. So, maybe with the new Kickstarter pilot idea going on, maybe we can get included in that. But at the time, we didn't have the ability to do the special effects that we wanted to do. And the god-awful knows that someone who will remain nameless, Sir Osric, who got that from the store, needs to be redone for definite sure. But anytime I can play Satan or Sam Hell, Dawn, are you listening? Sam Hell, I would love to be able to have that opportunity. So with any luck, yes, we will be doing that. But I think it may need to be spurred on by you, our fans and listeners. Thank you very much for the question.
Interesting, Scott. You know, I wasn't ever part of those conversations about redoing the poker bet. But yeah, I'd have to say I am definitely interested in that. I'd have to see where it would fit with, you know, other content. I agree. I had a kind of a different vision of how that would be executed. And so I think I'd like to be involved in bringing that to light, maybe in a larger way. So
this question has to do with the Demon Hunters RPG game. I know Alpha 1, Rho 7, and Omega 15 are already established in the movie/comic/game night settings. I had been asked by my party if any other chapters were unavailable as far as the above settings go. Thank you. Crispy.
Okay, yeah, regarding the Demon Hunters team question, I'm going to toss this over to Jimmy McMichael, but he's a writer, so he just wrote the answer, and I have to actually speak it to you. All right, so Sigma 7 is Harkadian's crew, our example chapter from the original RPG. Yes, you are seeing that they essentially got a kind of promotion, sort of. They were Sigma 13 before, but they are now Sigma 7. Gamma 3 is Anti-Tank Sally's chapter, and you'd better be damn sure of your affairs are in order before you try to take it away from her. Excuse me. Theta 3 are stationed at a hidden air base off the coast of Antarctica. And Zeta 1 is another group that might be popping up any day now. So beyond that, go nuts. Row 7's not canon. Just bear in mind that the number of teams per level corresponds with that level's letter value. So 1 alpha 1, 2 betas, 10 kappas, 23 psi teams. You get the idea. There's no upper limit, however, on omegas. So omega 3097 is fair game. Yoda agents operate completely independently and are not organized by chapter. And there are no XI chapters, or XI, or however you want to spell that in English letters. XI ranking can only be awarded posthumously and is the greatest honor a Brotherhood agent can receive. So if we use your designation for another team at some point in the future, consider yourselves promoted. The Demon Hunters webcomic is taking a hiatus in a bit. Last page is estimated to launch on April 7th for a break. They are taking some time to regroup, take a look at their strategy, write out the remainder of the story or stories, and just get a you know, better sense, you know, reflect on a full year's worth of working on this comic, seeing what worked, what didn't. And also, of course, the two, Jimmy McMichael and Benny Honeycutt, are going to be instrumental in working on this role-playing game as well. So they're going to spend some time on that too. So sorry we're taking them away from you for a little while, but they will be back soon. Demon Hunters will return to the webcomic. Now is the point where the story really picks up. We've got all the characters introduced. Now it's going to really take off. So I'm really excited about that. We'll be back to Dead FM after this important message.
That's why the Smurfs were communists.
Oh, here we go.
Seriously, think about it. And they didn't have any money. They lived in the same houses, and their leader looked like Lenin. Checkmate.
Whatever you say.
Give me another beer, Apple Rack.
I think you've had enough.
Hey, I'll tell you when I've had enough. And I have so...
Somebody, get him out of here.
I'm going, but the pretzels are coming with me.
I will take him away.
Hey, thanks, buddy. You're all right. I didn't get your name.
Malthusian.
Is that Irish?
No.
I like you. You're all right. I would totally get you a drink if I could.
Perhaps I'll just help myself.
In the neck?
I totally did. Chomped you good.
Not cool. You drank a lot of my blood.
Kinda how it works, dumbass. Your blood has quite a kick to it. Hey, Want to see me take my shirt off? Look at me! I'm a sparkly vampire from Twilight. I glow in the sun. See? Watch this. I'm gonna go fall for some sullen whiny chick who reads books and won't have sex.
Intoxication can take lives, maybe even your own.
Know when you've had enough.
A message from GAY, Gamers Against Intoxication.
We really need to change our name.
Agreed.
You're listening to Dead FM.
How many station ads does a podcast need? And who will be featuring in the future? Matthew Hunt.
Zero.
None.
Nada.
Zilch.
Zip.
Goose egg.
But that's if we're talking about, like, paid advertisement on podcasts. I mean, Two Bards does a podcast that has zero advertisements. However, if you're talking about the fun DG advertisements that Two Bards contribute to often, then, yeah, I don't know, whatever we come up with. Andy, how many you got in your brain pan?
Goose egg.
The Darkness Rising Blu-ray Kickstarter that I've been talking about for, well, since, I think, January, I decided to kick it down the road. We're going to kickstart it, but a little later. The issue is that I built it and I wasn't happy with it, and I just felt like we needed to do a little bit better job of designing that campaign and making it better and making the disc, frankly, more awesome. So after talking with a lot of you on Facebook, and thank you for such a great response and conversation, I got a really good sense of what you folks would be really excited about. So we've taken that back to the team, and we are putting our heads together and coming up with something that's going to be pretty spectacular. I think we're going to call it something like the 10th anniversary. Because in 2005, we started filming and it's 2015. So that seems like a good enough, that seems like a good enough excuse to me. So we'll make it pretty freaking cool. And I have some great reward ideas. So hopefully, we're not going to delay too long, maybe a couple of months. I'm thinking probably May or June, just depends on what kind of crowdfunding things we got going on around then. One thing I haven't told you about for Darkness Rising is that we are actively pursuing further distribution on Netflix, on Amazon.com, and Hulu. And we've ran into some problems with Netflix, but with the upcoming Blu-ray, we might be able to get back on. I'm not sure. But the really exciting thing is Connor Marks is making a brand new cover for us, and it's gorgeous. You're going to love it. And I'll show it on the Kickstarter, and that will show up hopefully in the feeds when we announce that we're live on Netflix and the other stations as well. I'm excited to show you that.
How are the other items coming along for the Kickstarter pledges, i.e. badges, tattoos, dice, pendants, etc.? Matthew Hunt.
Hey, me again. With regard to the Kickstarter pledges, I'm assuming that you're asking about the Demon Hunters RPG and or possibly the House Rules Kickstarter pledge fulfillment. Because I believe we have delivered everything that we were going to for Gamers 3, at least anything that I have any control over. So with regard to what I know on the other Kickstarter stuff, I designed the badges / patches for both. And those have been delivered on the Demon Hunters RPG side. And the House Rules patches are in production right now. So, yeah, everything should be coming along swimmingly. However, I'm going to let Dawn officially answer all the rest of it because all I know is about patches.
Knowing this question comes from Matthew Hunt, Scott, I think I can help here. He's definitely talking more about the Demon Hunters role-playing game Kickstarter pledges and those ancillary things. Like Scott said, a lot of the stuff, the patches have been ordered. I actually have them in my garage. The pins are in. The dice are in. Dice bags are coming to me in something like mid-April. And I still have to order the cards yet, the membership cards. But we've got a killer design for it. I'm super stoked with that. That shouldn't take very long. There's a few other things that are sort of outstanding. The pendants, they're ready to go. Man, those things are gorgeous. I'm so proud of those things. I get it. They're spendy, but they're handcrafted. So, you know, we're supporting another artisan, and she does amazing work. So that's the story with that. If you want to get in on that and get yourself one of those crazy, amazing looking pendants that are high quality, you can go to demonhuntersrpg.com and just order the pre-order site there, and you can order that sucker. It's gorgeous. So those will come whenever I place those orders. The rest of them are, I'm kind of blanking. We're definitely, the videos for the Kickstarter pledges, we are going to start shooting those in the next couple of months. They will be out prior to fulfillment, so don't worry about that. We got some monster hunting videos, and then we've got a segment on Anti-Tank Sally answering your life's questions, since we got some pretty good doozies on that, so that'll be fun.
I'd hate to bother you all with a bunch of questions. Instead, I'll simply ask for any advice for a group starting up, as DG and Zoe had. Anything would be helpful to myself and my group. Thank you muchly, Brandy Nicole.
Really good question, Brandy Nicole. I am going to have a hard time answering this. I wish I had some of the other guys with me to help me with this. You know, I think for me, it's all about finding the right people that you work really well with. And it's taken us, you know, there is a sort of a synergy right off the bat with the original guy, you know, the original people involved. You know, some of those people came and went, but there is this sort of ongoing natural evolution, very organic, about, you know, who's really sort of moving things forward. And it's all, to me, it's all about working with people that you trust implicitly, that you admire, and that you can have a hell of a lot of fun with. And I think the other aspect of it is the ability to separate personal from professional. And that is not easy. And it's definitely something that we have not done super successfully over the years. I think we're much better at it now. But that, you know, I think that's a huge key, is trying to be able to operate on a professional level when you're doing something, and not let it affect your personal relationships, and figure out a way to separate those. It's a really hard thing to do, though. But when you achieve it, it's really, really rewarding, because you can go, oh, yeah, actually, I get that, you know. I ate a lot of crow this week, in fact, as a side tangent. You know, when we first set out to do Dortness Rising, we had set out to do quite a bit of product placement and other stuff. And quite frankly, you know, we didn't know jack shit about that. I think Ben Dobbins was the only one that had an idea, but it was mainly through research and whatnot, and finding those awareness and just trying it. And I think that's the other thing, is you just have to be willing to fail. But unfortunately, we sort of, I think, hurt some people in that process of just not knowing exactly what we were doing, but trying it. And, you know, finding out stories years later, this week, in fact. So, you know, you got to go back and go, yeah, you know what? We made mistakes and sorry about that. And I totally understand where you're coming from. And if I were you, I'd be doing the same. And to be able to move forward with, you know, an amicable relationship, that's important. That's a long answer. Again, there's a lot of other aspects, but I think it's all about, you know, being with people you trust, that you ultimately respect, and that, you know, here's another thing that I find is that, first of all, just go out and do it. But second, and don't be afraid to fail. You have to fail in order to learn. And then the third thing is, if you don't know how to do something, find somebody who does. Surround yourself with people who make up for your shortcomings. And where you're weak, they are strong, and they actually like doing that part. And that is a big thing, I think. That's how I really try and operate. That's also hard to do if no one around you wants to do those things or that sort of thing. So, you know, time. Bah. Okay.
And that's the news and cues. That's the news and cues. Okay, that's a thing now.
You are listening to Dead FM.
Top of the whatever time of day you're hearing this to you. Your old pal Kentucky Blue Clay here, reporting live from the janitor's closet inside the men's room of the Corcoran's Irish Pub. It may not be the classiest of venues, but the St. Patrick's Day festivities are in full swing, and this was the only place quiet enough to record this thing. St. Patrick, patron saint of Nigeria, paralegals, and of course, Ireland. Old Paddy sailed from his home in Britain to the wilds of Ireland, where he would preach the word of the Lord to the druids and leprechaun spawn that called the land of Ire their home. And of course, everyone knows the story about how he drove all the snakes out of Ireland into the sea using nothing more than the power of Christ and a big old stick. Wow. Cool story, bro. One small problem, though. Now, there's a lot of things that Ireland has an abundance of. Catholics? Absolutely. Gingers? Lousy with them. A complete lack of potatoes? On occasion. But snakes? Nope. Not a one. And that's not our boy Paddy's doing, either. There have never been any snakes in Ireland. It's a matter of geology. They lost their land bridge to the continent some time during the Ice Age. Back then, any belly crawler trying to sidewind its way across would have ended up a frosty snakesicle long before it ever came close to the Emerald Isle. So St. Patrick's famous for driving snakes out of a place that never had snakes to begin with. That clearly doesn't make any sense, right? Well, sure, if you're taking the story at face value. But you can't do that with folklore. Folk tales are a rich, creamy swirl of history and mythology. The peanut butter cups of storytelling. The trick is to peel away the chocolate coating of metaphor to get to the peanut buttery truth hiding inside. So the snakes aren't snakes. Like most places they pop up in folklore, they're a metaphor for whoever's the most hated, persecuted group of the time. So who exactly were the snakes that St. Patrick drove out of Ireland? Jews? Pagans? Gypsies? All good guesses, but this time we're talking about the most vile, despicable, unbearable minority of them all. Mimes. That's right. Mimes. Look, I try to be open and understanding and respectful of all belief systems, but these wind-walking bastards have plagued mankind for thousands of years. Back around the 5th century, Ireland had a particularly nasty infestation of the things. Looking to escape Roman persecution, members of the mystery cult, the Order of Mimas, had immigrated to Ireland and established a mimery on the outskirts of Leinster. From there, they spread out across the country, preaching their silent ministry to every corner of the island. Don't ask me how, but they were pretty damn successful, too. There wasn't a road in the country that wasn't lined with a glass box of the pale-faced beggars. Glass box being the scientific term for a large group of mimes. Something had to be done, and that's when St. Patrick showed up. Drove them out is sort of a bowdlerized description for what St. Pat did to the Irish mime population. Let's not mince words here. He beat the holy hell out of them. With a righteous fury and the aforementioned big ol' stick, he traveled from village to village, leaving a trail of stripy shirt casualties in his wake. Word of his rampage, well, maybe not word, but emphatic charade style overacting of his rampage soon spread, and all but the bravest and most foolhardy of mimes hightailed it out of the country. It was only a matter of months before the last of the bleeding and battered mimes was dragged by his bereaved brethren aboard a ship bound for the shores of France. And St. Patrick, his cudgel caked in dried blood and pancake makeup, watched them go. The silent menace was gone from the shores of Ireland, never to return. Now that doesn't merit canonization, I don't know what does. Alright, folks, I've got to get back out there. They need my baritone for the next drunken rendition of Danny Boy, and I'm itching to test this Kiss Me I'm Irish shirt on the co-eds guzzling green beer over by the karaoke machine. Hey, don't judge me. It's not creepy if it's a holiday. Happy St. Paddy's Day, folks!
Dead FM is directed by Don Early.
Contributors to Dead FM are Scott C. Brown, Andy Doporowski, Christian Doyle, Chris Dupenthaler, Don Early, Brian Lewis, Jimmy McMichael, Tiffany Pike, Matt Vansel, Beau Pritchard, Emily Shimkus, and Matt Shimkus. Dead FM theme song High Road is written by Sean Bendixson, performed by the Bendixson Brothers, and arranged by Steve Wolbrecht. Dead FM is copyright 2015, Dead Gentleman Productions, LLC, all rights reserved.
Don't forget to subscribe to Dead FM on iTunes, Stitcher, or however the hell else you get your podcasts. I'm climbing on the water plane, guess I can't complain. I've been up so low.